Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. This is episode 5 of our Foundations of Truth Maternity Leave series. And in this episode, we're going to be going into man's sinful state, what it means that man has a sin nature. Again, I will be linking all the resources and articles that I use below so that you can read what I'm referencing and hopefully find more answers to any other questions that you may have. So let's just get into it. I gave a really long introduction into this kind of second part series in the last episode, so I don't want to redo that again. But sin nature, that is an aspect that we are all affected by. Even if you are a believer, you still have a sin nature, and that is because of Adam's fall, the fall of man that we referenced in our episode last week. And the sin nature is the aspect of man which makes him rebellious against God. And this episode and the next episode on the rebellion of man are kind of going to go hand in hand, but the rebellion of man is going to actually focus more on the application of man's sinful state, of what we see in the world today, and how that links back to our theology of man's sin nature. And this episode is going to focus more on the theology part of that, if that makes sense. But when we speak of sin nature, we're referring to the fact that we have a natural inclination to rebel against God. Our natural bent of our sinful heart is to do that which is evil. Jeremiah 17 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. And so left in our own state, man will always choose that which is pleasing to himself. He will always be selfish, self-serving, envious, jealous, bitter, hateful, etc. And that's not to say that everyone is as bad as they could be. This is actually a critique and an argument against man's sinful state that, okay, well, not everyone is Hitler, so that can't mean that everyone is bad all the time. And yet even the good works that we do, Isaiah tells us, are filthy rags without Christ involved in those good works. That everything that we do ultimately without Christ is for self-gratification in some way. Even if you're doing good works, it makes you feel better about yourself. It leads to self-centeredness and pride. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about sin nature, that our natural bent is toward ourselves, not towards God. And we have proof of that. And we're going to get into the proofs of that in the next episode. But one of the proofs is that when you have children, you don't need to teach them not to share. You don't need to teach them to lie or be selfish. And actually, the opposite is true. As a parent, you have to actually go to great lengths and teachable moments to teach them not to do those things, to teach them how to share, to teach them to tell the truth, to teach them to be kind and not to hit. Those are the things that we teach our kids. We don't teach them the opposite. So sinful behavior comes naturally. And I think the best example of that is what I just referenced in children, that here they are, little people. They've barely just entered the world when they're in the toddler stage of 1 and 2. And already you are seeing the effects of sin in their life. Again, you're seeing them not being wanting to share. You're seeing them hit their siblings, or you're seeing them cry when they don't get something that they want. You see the sin nature almost instantly in your children. Charles Spurgeon once said, "As the salt flavors every drop in the Atlantic, so does sin affect every atom of our nature. It is so sadly there, so abundantly there, that if you cannot detect it, you are deceived." And obviously the Bible explains the reason for this, that humanity is sinful, not just in practice or in theory, but in our nature. We are sinful, and this is because of Adam's fall that plunged us all into a sinful state. In Psalm 51, David says that in sin did his mother conceive him. It is in our very nature. At the moment of conception, we are conceived in sin. It's just part of us as human beings. And so Paul, in Romans 7, accurately denotes the reality of this tension. If you are now a believer, that you have this tension now of your sinful nature still being present, and yet you have this new nature of the Holy Spirit that is living in you, that you have a new man now, and you are now in battle against sin. And Paul says that in Romans 7, the things he doesn't want to do, he does, and the things he does want to do, he doesn't do. And there's just this constant war in his mind and his body of the battle of the flesh against the Spirit, because we still have our sinful state. And ultimately, we will never be rid of this sinful state until Jesus Christ comes back and restores all things, eliminates sin completely, throws all sin and death into hell for eternity. That is going to be a glorious day that I cannot wait for, that believers have been waiting for decades, for thousands of years, for the renewal of our bodies, the renewal of our spirits. Romans 8 talks about how even the earth is groaning for restoration, groaning for redemption, for the day when sin will no longer mar or affect us anymore. And so we see the consequences of sin nature in our children, and we also see it in our society at large. And as I referenced before, just because you are saved when you become a believer, you don't lose your sin nature once you receive Christ. The Bible says that sin remains in us and that a struggle with that old nature will continue as long as we are in this world. Again, I already referenced Paul bemoaning his own personal struggle in Romans 7. However, we have the Spirit of God now that helps us to make decisions, to act in a way that is actually in accordance with God's word, with his will, and that is actually against sin nature. That the beautiful thing about becoming a believer in Christ is that you don't have to sin. There is no longer a, you have to do this, or this is your natural inclination to do this all the time, that the Spirit of God is working and sanctifying your heart to have a new inclination to do the things of God. And that's a beautiful thing to meditate on as we face temptation, that whatever temptation you are facing, Christian, you do not have to give in to it. If you are in the old man, in the old state, I would say, yeah, your natural inclination will probably win out because you have no spiritual aliveness in you. You have no Spirit of God to keep you from those things. But now that you are in Christ, now that you have a new nature, you absolutely have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to say no to sin. And that is such a beautiful reality that we as Christians can cling to as we face the corruption in this world, that we don't have to be a part of this corruption. We can actually fight against it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So next week, this one was much shorter than the next episode will be. We're going to be getting into the application of this sin nature, of what it means that we are born in rebellion against God. We are born for the natural inclination to do the things that are pleasing to ourselves and things that are displeasing to God. We are going to get into how this actually plays out in the culture, in the political realm in which we live. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.